town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk
Podcast for the people, by the people.
Halloween week.
Good day, good day.
Yes.
Halloween week. Last year, or year before maybe, didn't you like in the intro go, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
I was just going to do that, but then I thought that might be a little weird.
Yeah. No, it's that time of year, and what a perfect setting. One of the first freezes, frost, and
yeah.
Very foggy, eerie.
Very foggy this morning.
It was rough driving this morning.
Yeah, visibility was so low. Like, can't see cars even with their headlights on.
Yeah.
Too far away.
My awesome techie car, The camera's done.
Oh, wow.
Wouldn't even work. That's how close.
Yeah.
Like, it just said visibility, eyesight, done.
It's like we're not, you don't get the camera anymore.
Right. Okay. Like, I couldn't even use Cruise.
Wow. Oh, geez, really?
Yeah, like it, because it senses the car in front of you. Well, this didn't work.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
I know. So much crazy. For, like, we've got to go back like normal driving, I guess, and actually pay attention.
But, I mean, I always think about that, though. Like, we're so dependent on these weird little things that are just, when you boil it down to it, it's all connected to how good's your Wi-Fi connection.
Right.
You know, and if that's gone, you're done. Oh, it's foggy. There's too much moisture in the air. Sorry, you can't drive your car.
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You know?
I got a story for that. The other day, I left the house. So my phone works in the morning. Get up, whatever, using it. Leave the house. And I try to send him a text. And it's raining. It's the other morning. I'm like, oh, it's not going. Keeps shooting back. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, wait, he's not getting up till like 7:30. I can't call. Or I don't want to wake them. It still just won't work. My GPS won't work. Like, nothing on my phone's working. I decide to try to call him. Phone doesn't work. I'm like, mother trucker. Okay, Morgan, calm down.
What's up?
You're fine. You know how to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I'm like, if I break down, I'm going to be in the rain. What do I do? I'm like, okay,
wow.
Wait. I could go find a phone. And then I'm like, wait, but no one has payphones anymore.
Except every single person that's around you in existence is carrying one in their pocket.
Have to talk to them.
But this is like my mental thought, right? Get to the chiropractor. I'm like, hey, can I use your phone? My phone doesn't work. I'm thinking we're all connected.
Right.
I try to call him. It doesn't work.
Well, yeah, if your phone's not working, his phone's probably not working.
So then I'm on my way home. I'm like, just get home. Just get home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking I'm going to walk in to a note on the table, old school, that's like, honey, I had to go to Verizon. Our phones don't work. Okay. Then I'm thinking, oh my God, my kids can't get a hold of me. I walk in. He's on the fucking phone.
Oh my God.
I'm like, your phone works?
That is
I was so annoyed.
Jeez.
Nothing of mine worked. Side note, Ben, Haley's did not work. I talked to the girls. So two of ours out of the three didn't work.
Yeah, and
basically my phone turned into an iPod.
And
it worked when I was on Wi-Fi, just text.
Kind of sounds like it sent you into a panic, too.
It did, and so
anxiety.
To your point, I'm not that crazy about having to have my phone.
Yeah,
but I went a little bit mental when I was worried about everyone, like my children, trying to get a hold of us.
Mm. So you extrapolated it out to that.
Yeah.
Which is an easy, just a step to take, you know.
So anyways, I think I missed, I don't know, I got two messages that said, hey, I texted you.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I didn't get it.
You remind me
what
of
what do you do?
Yeah.
Like, what, literally, when, if?
I guess you panic, right?
I mean,
yeah.
I didn't cry. I didn't, like, hyper.
That's good.
Ventilate,
yeah.
Like, you know.
He's
laughing at me, but like realistically, what
I'm
your children?
Laughing. I'm not laughing.
None of your children have phones yet.
Yeah.
If someone needs to get a hold of you, then what?
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah.
They got to come find you?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't
like
know.
Snail mail?
Right. Yeah. Send a letter for
we
me.
Know that ain't going to get there for a week and a half with our post office. No, I'm kidding.
Man, like for the last week or two, I've come across some some realizations.
Oh,
okay.
Let's hear your thoughts.
I can't go into them right now because it would take way too long.
Oh, okay.
But we'll get into it on some podcasts. But it basically has to do with like realizing why our society is in the shape that it's in today.
Mm.
And it surrounds our level of hitting Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And okay, how, I like this. Yeah, and where we're at mm-hmm. on each one of those things. And I'm starting to realize more and more how much this is actually playing out. And when she's talking about what she's talking about there with that level of comfort that you have with that always being connected, you know, the safety piece of the hierarchy of needs,
mm-hmm.
What we've been taught and trained to feel with all these things and what has this actually done to our society and then in individuals, and then you see something like this and what the effect truly is,
right?
And then you think back on, let's say, 30 years ago
mm-hmm.
when we were 10, 15 years old and we didn't have cell phones.
But we had a house phone. So then my head went to like, let's get a house phone.
Let's say you're in your car.
Then I guess, so I was fine about that.
I'm not asking you to defend yourself. I'm just painting a picture. I'm just saying,
but like we had a phone.
We're in a car and we have no way to get a hold of anybody.
Yeah.
We didn't have cell phones. There might have been a payphone that you could stop at if you had a couple of quarters.
And I literally thought about that.
I'm just saying at that time, but there was never a heightened sense of, oh my God, I can't get a hold of anybody.
Right.
But we've been taught that over the last 15, 20 years that we need to be immediately connected and reachable.
Right.
And it puts people into a position of anxiety and fear and whatever else. And then in the end, you got to kind of go back and ask yourself, like, was this a planned result?
Right. Yeah. To put us in a panic, to make us so reliant
and
weak minded.
Right. And under control.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you need the internet. So whatever we charge, you need it. You need that Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes. But then also my head was spinning like, okay, we used to have a landline phone, but then I remember you saying it really wasn't landline. We still had to kind of pay Verizon to have the hardwire. I mean, it is just, we are so uber connected that it's
landline
ridiculous.
Has completely changed. Like the landline phone that we have in our house, which is only 6 or 7 years old,
mm-hmm.
is an internet phone.
It is.
Is all it is.
So is ours. Yeah. So is ours. And we got it just for a backup, for a safety mm-hmm. thing. And there's like limited minutes a year or month. I don't know what it was.
Like for those younger folks listening who don't understand, like landline used to literally mean that there was wires.
Yeah.
On the land running to your house
only
sent phone signals.
It's the line
communications phone signals.
It's the line that's next to that fiber line that's stapled to the side of your house.
Right.
It's that line.
Yeah, that nobody uses anymore.
Right, exactly.
It's obsolete.
And the new neighborhoods don't have.
No, they don't. They just have that little blue line now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This reminds me of a couple weeks ago, and I catch myself noticing things like this too, where I'll be working with a guy calling the game, and it'll hit me, oh my God, this guy's only 27 years old. You know, I'm so much older than him. Mm-hmm. We grew up in a different period, a different time. And we were out doing an 8-man football game.
Okay.
And I love doing those. It's a different football. It's a faster football. And we get to, you know, shine a light on a community or mm-hmm. two that usually mm-hmm. doesn't get the limelight, right, on a statewide broadcast. But with that, you're going to a smaller town, right? You're getting out into the sticks, which I love that too. And he was telling this story similar to yours, where he was like, oh my God. And then I got 5 miles out of town and I had no service, no bars, not even LTE. And he goes, if something were to happen to me in that 5 minutes, nobody would have known where I was because my phone wasn't even pinging.
There you go.
I'm like, holy sh-. And he, like, you could tell he had just this level of anxiety and he was really worried that his parents who are from the Chicago area didn't know where he was for those 5 minutes or couldn't find him.
Really?
And so he had to get from this town to that town and he checked his phone right away and finally he got one bar back and he goes, but now I'm going to have to drive back and my phone. I'm like, this is, and I didn't say anything to him. I'm just like, I turned it to like a, you know, yeah, Verizon's kind of spotty out here, and that, you know, so, but so is AT&T, you know. Yeah. I just kind of went down that road with them. But I was just thinking, like, I kind of felt sorry for them. I'm like, there's no need for you to worry like that for those 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it really, it impacted him. Like, he is so much so that, you know, 3 hours later when we're getting ready for the broadcast, he's still rehashing it and telling me about how it really freaked him out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh man.
And that goes back to, like I was saying, that hierarchy of needs and that level of comfort and safety that's in that hierarchy of needs that we've become so accustomed to.
Yeah.
And then you take that away, that starts threatening that hierarchy of needs, and shit starts going sideways.
It does. I just, oh my gosh, I do feel like I was, every thought, then I was replacing it. I was like, wait, Morgan, you can walk. You walked 50 miles. Like, if your car dies, you can do this.
Could you imagine having to walk somewhere?
I was like, it's not that big of a deal, you know? And then I'm like, crap, I'm in the rain. Like, what if someone hits me? No, okay, you're fine. You would just walk. Like, I'm literally having these conversations in my head. But this poor kid probably couldn't even replace it. Like, I at least had the thought, and then I was like, no, you can do this. You've done this before. I mean,
there's a guy that's almost 30 years old who's never, you know, been without a really good connection.
Yeah.
And think about that. Like, that age group doesn't have that early life experience that Morgan's talking about to fall back on and be like, oh no, I've been here before.
Yeah.
We'll be okay.
I was like, I do have a thumb. If I had to put it up, I could.
They've never been there.
Yeah.
They've only been here.
Right. Yeah.
And in fact, now they're being fed, well, we need to take that cell phone, make it a little smaller, and cram it directly into your brain.
Right.
Like, that's the latest
pitch. Yeah, exactly.
Pitch. So, yeah.
Well,
not as if this isn't convenient enough. We want to make it so you don't even have to hold this thing.
No, it's just in your brain.
It's in your eyeballs.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Some of those contacts, too, that will coincide with that, you can see infrared. Yeah. Like, it's pretty wild.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we do need to dig into what you were talking about, Ben, on a different episode. But today's episode, Andy is going to be talking a lot and educating us.
Halloween episode. Yes. Before we get into that, just because it was a good segue, we were talking about cellular connectivity. I wanted to talk real quick about Barn Owl and a couple of things that they've got going on. If you have a Barn Owl camera, and something you might be experiencing right now, hopefully, I know some of our listeners have purchased Barn Owl cameras because they stay in contact with us and let us know that they've had orders with our discount code FARMFOCUSED, which will give you another 10% off on top of discounts they already have on the website. But Barn Owl cameras, surveillance cameras, game cams, however you want to use them, cellular connected, you can make them solar powered, put them wherever you want on your farm, your ranch, your whatever property you have. We use a number of them. But over the last month, we've been having some connectivity issues. So you're talking about cell phones. I've been in contact with Barn Owl tech support, which, by the way, I wanted to talk about this experience a little bit so people understand it. Barn Owl, number one, is a very small company. They've got like 15 total employees, couple of people in tech support. It's literally people where if you call there, if you don't get them on the phone, you leave a voicemail, whatever, they call you back. It's someone in the States. It's not some India call center or whatever. It's people that know the products. They've been walking me through the trouble we're having. But what they've been running into is their cellular providers that they use around the country changing things up on them, and the camera's not working properly. So our two weren't working properly. Barn Owl said, yeah, we know what's going on. It's affecting a few different customers. Mm-hmm. We're shipping you new SIM cards. So they shipped SIM cards. We plugged them in. They started working. One of the other ones was still having some trouble. They're having to go through some firmware updates in regards to these new SIM cards. So that hasn't come across yet on one of the cameras.
Well, they're growing, right?
100%, yeah. So if people are experiencing that, just understand that it's happening kind of regionally. Right here in Nebraska, where we're at, is one of the areas getting hit pretty hard with this cellular issue.
Yep.
But their fix is on the way. They're sending SIM cards. If you're running into this, just call them. They'll walk you through it. I talked to one of their head marketing guys this morning. He kind of talked me through everything that they have going on, the fixes that are coming, the tech work that they're doing, and it all sounds good. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that, you know, places run into.
It's so crazy to me, and it always has been, how these different companies are at odds with each other, and so they don't and it's their tower. They put it up, or they're renting, or they're leasing the space on that, that cell tower. So I get it. Like, you can't just give that property up to your competitor.
Oh,
but it still aggravates me that here we are in 2025, and because I'm with this carrier versus that one, I don't have cell service.
Right.
Like, what if I really need to make a call? Like what you're saying, you know, I couldn't walk anymore or something.
Yeah.
But have you seen the, like when they do those coverage maps, have you paid attention to like the T-Mobile one?
Is that, that's the pink one, right?
Yes.
They all look like bullshit to me when I see them. Like, it's like, what, okay. like every single freaking corner of the United States is covered here, but you, I know that's not true.
You want to talk bullshit, and this map's actually gotten better, but like, let's go 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I actually like was watching one of their commercials on our big screen TV, and I was kind of close to it. I was cleaning or something, and they showed the coverage map, and Nebraska was just blacked out. So everything was pink and around it, but Nebraska, I'm like, is that for real? Like, what, is that a joke? Or are they saying like Nebraska has great coverage, you know?
Yeah.
So I looked into it. No, like their coverage map just totally didn't cover Nebraska.
Not allowed.
They didn't, they didn't cut any good deals with the providers in Nebraska. Mm. Now they do have spotty service that covers Omaha and Lincoln, and then everywhere else, maybe there's a little bloop over like Norfolk and Seward, but no, it I thought it was a joke.
I wonder why it's so difficult around here, because of Offutt.
Well, no, it's just that our and you see this across the board, a lot of our business leaders kind of play hardball. You know, like if you want our cell towers, pony up. Because not everybody's going out there and putting up towers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So well, lease out the space. And then their thought is, nobody's out there. Why do I care over 500 lines?
Yeah, it's not worth the investment or whatever. Yeah.
So then Nebraska's like, well, yeah, there's 500 people out here.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, you can easily see both sides.
Gotcha.
You know.
Huh.
So anyway, they're working through some of that. But overall, it sounds like most people aren't having issues, but there is some. So if you're running into that, just make sure you know what's going on. The other thing is their app. The app is new. I've been testing that out for like the last 3 or 4 weeks. My number one problem, and I finally got an answer on it, is when I go into this app, at least half the time I go into this app, it asks me to log back in. So it's logging me out. Barnow has an in-house app developer. It's one guy. He's built this whole app. So he's working on a number of different things. When this was originally built, and this is for Apple phones in particular, he only built, apparently, the login piece that stays logged in, or how it logs in or whatever, to work specifically with the biometric. So like the face scan.
Oh, so you gotta like face scan every time.
And Ben doesn't scan.
It's one of those things where they just like didn't even think about it. Like, oh yeah, everyone uses face scan.
Yeah. It's just the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
And Ben's you're like, no, I don't.
No, I don't want my camera, my face on my camera, although it's taking pictures of you all day.
Yeah, like I mean I know that I'm not like protecting myself from everything, from anything, just but I just
a little
can't.
Harder.
I just can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah, okay.
But I think what they're finding is that like a lot of these folks that are, you know, rural, on ranches, whatever, using these cameras.
70, 80-year-olds.
Flip phones are coming back.
Well, these folks are similar to me, where they're not setting up this face scan stuff.
Yeah.
They just don't like it.
Yeah.
So people are having trouble with this login portion. So that is, if you're experiencing that, if you download the app, if you're experiencing that, that fix is coming too. So just heads up. But either way, check them out, barnowl.tech. Code farm focused, FOCUSED, get 10% off. Great time to buy right now. Holiday season coming up.
Right on.
They got new cameras out. They got all kinds of cool stuff. But it's a great company to work with. Like I said, I can get somebody on the phone and literally talk to them.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, people say that all the time. Like when I'll answer the phone, they're like, oh, there's someone actually here.
Yeah.
That is huge to this day.
I promise you, if we had cameras out here from one of the bigger companies, which we had some, I'm not getting a hold of anybody in the U.S. for technical support at any kind of speed whatsoever, or any kind of answers like what I've got here.
You're going to get a bunch of prompts trying to answer your question without actually talking to you.
Right.
It's pretty annoying.
What's the website again? I always want to say .com, but isn't it .tech?
Barnowl.tech.
Okay. Yeah. All gotcha. Right.
So cool. Halloween. Man,
I can't even do a good one.
I was trying
Come
to
on,
get,
Andy.
I was trying to get back in here. One of the conversations we had last year about a murder suicide right down the road from here.
Yeah.
But he couldn't come in. But we could chat a little bit about that. But the, one of the things that I want to talk about.
He was going to talk about it?
I don't know. We were
trying to get somebody to at least talk about it.
Yeah. But one of the things that's in the news right now that I thought would be kind of cool just to start with quick is, have you guys been following this 3-Eye Atlas thing?
Yeah.
No. What are you talking about?
Where aliens are coming at us right now.
I mean, I thought we already knew aliens are coming.
Halloween is like ghosts and ghouls and aliens too, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's aliens. It's just ghosts and witches. It's aliens?
I mean, aliens are kind of scary too.
Supernatural.
Haven't you ever seen, isn't there some of those like animated movies like with aliens that are Halloween specific?
Yeah, I guess when I think of Halloween, I don't think alien. Okay, now you're freaking me out. Stop with that.
Yeah, so this Ashley tells me that too. She's like, don't make that noise. Not gonna.
This 3-Eye Atlas thing is like, I don't know, what do you know about it? Like, they're saying it's, first of all,
it's a huge asteroid that's buzzing by our solar system. It's taking an odd path. It's right now, like, kind of behind the sun, and it's moving in a weird way. And depending on what telescope's looking at or not, there seems to be, like, little trailers, like, you know how Air Force One has fighter pilots, mm-hmm. you know, F-18s.
Oh, there's people next to it?
Or something. And there's a tail. You know how, like, a comet leaves a tail?
Yes.
This one has a tail in front of it. It's like, well, what's that? That doesn't make any sense. There can't be a tail in front of it.
Well, when's it coming?
Well, right now it's behind the sun.
And how do we even know it's coming, guys?
We don't know anything. That's the that's the point.
It's so like, people are just like, making up stories.
First of all, I Googled it, and the NASA website is science.nasa.gov. And by the way, first thing at the top of the website, due to the lapse in federal government funding, NASA is not updating this website.
You want to talk about making people have some anxiety.
Yeah. So we're not getting any updates, but it says NASA's working together with some other folks to track and study this rare interstellar comet as it passes through our solar system. It says that it's from outside our solar system. There was something I saw here that was super interesting. Says it's going to be 170 million miles from our planet. Said something about like this is one of only three. This is the third time something like this has ever happened.
And it could be like if it was coming right at us, I think it would be a world ender. Like it's that.
Yeah.
Big. So when is this going to happen?
It says it's going to be visible to ground based telescopes. It says through September, but this hasn't been updated.
Yeah.
Because of the government shutdown, of course. It said it'll reappear on the other side of the sun by early December, which then you can start seeing it again.
And it's also like buzzing oddly close to like three or four other planets. So people are thinking like, well, maybe this is just like a surveillance pod of a ancient civilization, an alien civilization. I don't know. It's weird.
So it's like,
Like a distracting thing? What are we getting distracted from?
It's also not getting pulled or impacted. Like there's all these different things floating out there and I don't know what's all.
Yeah. True. Like they're saying that it's not being affected by gravitational pulls like everything else normally is.
It's going right by the sun and it's just staying on its trajectory.
Yeah.
And if it stays on that path, it's buzzing by all these different planets, like kind of oddly close. And just staying and it, just going by these planets, it should be impacted by their gravitational pull, and it's not.
Yeah,
and it has that the tail that's in front of it makes no sense at all. Nobody can answer that.
You guys got me stumped. I don't even know what to say.
Some of the videos on like social media that people are posting, like you really don't know what to believe anymore. Like,
no, what's if real? It's AI, and what's not. Sucks. Yeah, right.
That sucks.
But some of them, if it's real at all.
Mm-hmm.
Are like 100% a spaceship.
If it's real at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's already enough, I think, where there's smoke, there's fire, but there's enough anomalies or weird stories with this one to something's up. I mean, something that we don't understand is buzzing through our galaxy right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And it is Halloween.
Ho.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're coming down to...
That sounded like Christmas. Yeah. Sorry, guys. I'm going to get better at this.
It is. Hey, it's like the kickoff for the holidays for me, right?
Maybe they're coming down to get some candy, man.
And I have heard that, okay, they're behind the sun a little too long. We haven't got enough recon. They're coming right at us now. They've already changed path and they're coming at us.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So
that's crazy. I just saw something else on here. It said it's thought to be at least 7 billion years old, making it likely twice as old as the Earth. The oldest comet we've ever seen. I don't know, dude.
Yeah, who knows?
And if this is true, what it says here, that it's going to pop back up in December, that means we got a whole nother month of waiting that we are supposed to believe that nothing can be seen. And then all of a sudden, December, boom.
Yeah. Yeah, then right when we get back into like Christmas time. And also probably a whole nother month of our government showing us how worthless they are and how we actually don't need them.
True.
So, you know, keep it up. It kind of reminds me of like the NCAA. Like, all right, we're not gonna do anything anymore. And then all the colleges like, okay, so what did you ever do other than rake in money?
Right.
Put on a tennis tournament for us. Put on a Ponzi scheme of a bowl system for football. Wait, you made money on that too? Huh. What did you do? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Right.
So, a lot of uncertainty. Not just with cell phones
Sounds
and cell
like
service.
It. Yeah, but, yeah, gal, this is such a positive podcast today. We're just bringing a lot of freakiness.
Let's get into some other Halloween stories. What do you got over there? He just got weird noises.
Yeah. So, to go along with Halloween and a story that's really close to us. And it's kind of odd how close it really is and how little people know about this. But it keeps coming up, and it has.
Okay.
Over, I mean.
Wait, where are you hearing this?
The latest. You know who Mr. Ballin is?
No.
He's a famous storyteller, and he's made a living just traveling the nation telling stories. And a lot of times they are supernatural stories or aliens or ghosts, but a lot of times they're just like unbelievable. Like a guy fell from a building and didn't even break a leg. You know, just crazy stories. He's really good at it. So he has his own network now. And one of his shows is called Run Fool. And the Salt Witch is on it.
Okay. Salt Witch.
The Salt Witch.
Educate us.
So this story originated and takes place long before like wagons were heading west, covered wagons were heading, before the West was won, you could say, or settlers. And it has to deal with the Odo people, the Odo tribe. And their main area that they inhabited, that they kind of lived, was on or close to the Salt Flats, you know, over there by Lincoln, Nebraska.
Okay.
And so they kind of set up shop for the most part where the confluence is between the Saline River and the Platte River. So, like, that's just right over here. I mean, we're right next to Odo County.
Yeah, we are.
And it's kind of, as I was researching this, it was kind of neat seeing all the different names and areas crop up. I'm like, oh, I know where that is. I know what that is. So back in this time, the Odo people had this very surly, I mean, he was just almost angry, just a mean, mean chief. And nobody even talked to this guy. He had no friends. He always kept to himself. And if you ever did have to cross his path, you didn't like it because he was just so nasty to everybody.
Huh.
But that's kind of how, you know, even today, the people that get into power, you know, a lot of times the bully is the guy that runs the show. Not because he's the smartest or most clever. No, he's a bully, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what this chief reminds me of. But the one person that could get through to him and, you know, and deal with him and open up his soft side or whatever was his wife. And so, like, she would be the main go-between between the chief and the people. And the only time he was in any type of a decent mood was when she was by his side. Well, unfortunately, she died. She called it the crow. She would have coughing fits. And looking into it, I bet it was the whooping cough, I think she died of, probably from early fur traders or the Spanish he's trying to come up through Mexico. So
freaking Whitey's brought the disease in.
I'm blaming it on Spanish. Yeah. So she passed away due to violent coughing fits and this and that, and that didn't help his attitude.
Oh, I'm sure not.
He became like what he already was. He became worse. And on top of that, he became a recluse. He just went into his teepee and never came out. And nobody bothered him and nobody wanted to. Mm-hmm. And now that they lost that connection with his wife, not being there to be the kind of the go-between, he just set himself aside. And no one talked to this guy for, some accounts say a few days, some accounts say a few months. So rumors started throughout the tribe. Well, is he still fit to be our chief? Can we really trust this guy? Has he gone crazy? Have you talked to him? No, I haven't talked. Have you talked to him? No. Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell is going on? So anyhow, these rumors get back to him, and he knows that he has to do something. So one day, unannounced, he just busts out of his teepee in full war dress. He's got his headset on, and the Odo people, they wore, what the heck is it called? A roach headdress, mm-hmm. that was made out of porcupine quills, dyed red, and it was topped with like an eagle feather. Their war paint was big lines of red paint down the side and like over the mouth and under the nose.
Okay.
Kind of scary looking, you know? And yep. Chiefs for the Odo, they wore a big old necklace made of bear claws. So so imagine this guy, you don't see him for a month. You already think he's crazy and he's mean, and then he just busts out like that and puts his chest out and just looks over the tribe. And everyone's like, nobody says shit. Nobody says anything. They don't want to. And that's just it. He leaves. He just walks out. He just walked away.
Bye. Peace.
Just bye. Yep, peace. It didn't say a word. Nobody knew what to think. Now, out of respect, they thought, well, maybe he's going on some like a journey or something. And so they waited for him, and that's exactly what happened. He did reappear 4 weeks later with pretty brutal, but he showed back up with about a dozen scalps from the Pawnee tribe, the Fox, and the Osage. Now, all these tribes were pretty violent towards each other. Like, there was a constant wars going on. The Odo and the Pawnee would work together every so often, but for the most part, most of their tenure, they're at odds, fighting over boundaries, fighting over the buffalo herd, whatever it was. But that's something that's – I'm glad that American history is being kind of retaught right now to, like, include that and be more honest. Like, no, the Native Americans weren't always peaceful. In fact, the Odo and the Osage, they're just straight up brutal, like violent. So he comes back with about a dozen scalps from these different tribes. He also has – some pelts, some furs from elk and wolf. Like, this dude went on a mission and kind of reestablished that I'm the shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dang.
He also, and this was probably the most important thing, that this is where the story begins, came back with a handful of a new spice. It was salt. And with that salt, they were able to tan hides better, give them more longevity, add it to food, preserve jerky, preserve food. So really the biggest part of this was he came away with salt. And he found it on the very last day of his expedition. He had just killed the wolf, was skinning it, gutting it, and then he kind of collapsed in just exhaustion because this guy's been at it hard, killing people, killing big game, like just getting after it. So he passes out, and it's getting to be dark anyway, and fog is casting over the salt flats like we're seeing right here, you know, kind of eerie. And he gets brought out of his sleep, out of his slumber, from just a cry, like a blood-curdling scream.
Wow.
And then he gets to listening, and it's obviously two women fighting, you know, going back and forth, yelling at each other. And so he runs over, you know, he runs over the hill, he takes a look at it, and it's very clearly two women fighting, and one is standing over the other, and she has her by the hair, you know, and just kind of jerking her around a little bit, and the one screams, have mercy, no, I'm taking you, And he kind of creeps up a little closer, and he could tell the one standing over top, she's old and pretty ugly. Like, she's an ugly gal, you know, warts on the nose, the whole nine yards. And the one that's on her knees is, he can tell from a distance, she's beautiful and okay. she's young.
Yeah.
So he gets a little closer, and the one in struggle looks over at him, and he knows right away, that's my wife. That's my wife. And at that time, when he comes to that realization and knew who she was, the old, we'll just call it, it was the witch,
yeah,
raises up her hatchet and gets ready to just crack her and take her out. He, you know, he gets to running towards her, pushes the old lady back off of her. And as he does that, the earth opens up. And the old lady, the witch, falls into the crevice, and his wife starts to fall too into this new opening. He goes to grab her, and she's fallen in. And in that split second, she looks at him, and just, it's not necessarily a smile, but it's a calm look.
Mm-hmm.
And that calmness, that peaceful look that she shot him, falls over him. And he can't explain it, but he's like, okay, bye. And the earth closed back up, and it was over. And he's like, whoa, you know, what happened? But he did have this, I don't know, this feeling of just being at peace now.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to walk away, you know, not really knowing what the hell was going on, go get his scalps, ready to go home now, ready to go back to the tribe
mm-hmm.
and serve and, you know, fulfill, you know, him being a chief. And then he had this crazy feeling that someone was watching him. You ever get that?
Mm-hmm.
And what's really worse about that for me is like when you feel it and then you look over your shoulder and someone is just staring at you. Like, how creepy is that?
Yeah.
So he gets that sensation like times 100. And he looks over his shoulder where this all happened. And there is a silhouette. Somebody is standing there. And he's hoping that it's his wife. So he turns back and he's running towards this silhouette of a person. And as he gets closer and closer, he can tell that's not my wife. That's the witch. And he gets up even closer, and it wasn't a witch at all. It was a salt pillar. It was a column of salt standing about 5 or 6 foot tall. And at that time, no one had seen anything like that. So he grabbed a handful of that salt, put it in his pelt, accidentally learned that that's a good way to learn how to tan and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and just returned to his tribe. And incidentally, when he got back, he was a much better man, a much better leader, and nobody knew what to make of that. But everybody was absolutely scared to death of the Salt Witch taking their loved ones.
Hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
So this salt pillar is a real thing in Nebraska, right?
Yes. They used
like
to,
it's still, there are still some?
They were very common back in those times, and that was due to just the geological configuration of Nebraska and mm-hmm. the salt flats. So there was Nebraska used to be covered by ocean. It left a lot of salt deposits, and salt is less dense than like bedrock and things of that nature. So over time, salt would get pushed up towards the surface.
Oh.
And that's why the salt flats are there. There's just so much salt there. But like in some areas, it would push through like a crack or like a small opening,
uh-huh.
and it would make what's called a salt column or a salt pillar. And these formations are still, you know, they'll still form here and there, but salt domes are a real thing, and they happen, you know, in all these different areas across the world.
I didn't even realize that this was something that existed in Nebraska.
The Capitol Lake there, as you drive into Lincoln,
mm-hmm.
that lake is a salt lake, and so it doesn't have just normal fish. Like, they had to go get, like, these crazy, weird catfish.
It's salt water?
It's salt water, yeah. It's so salty. It's,
wow.
You know, like, normal plants don't grow in it. The salt flats just to our west is like one of the most unique biological areas in the world. Hmm. Because all these plants had to adapt and survive mm-hmm. with this high saline area and wet area. And yeah, as soon as wagons did head west and Lincoln was formed in townships, that was the main business, was extracting salt and trading it.
Wow. Okay. So, but what got me slightly confused was you had already said she had died. So he basically had a vision that these two women were doing this. Like when people go on these journeys, you know, you see movies or whatever, like, is he making this up or he truly believed they came back to life? And you know what I mean? As the story's retold, that's where I got a little bit.
So when the moving forward from that, whenever tribesmen or, you know, Native Americans, Indians were out and they would see a salt pillar or a salt dome, as they're known, they would get off their horse and they would pound the ground with their tomahawk or their club to keep the witch down. They would beat her down, keep her down. They didn't want that. But if you get to be like Ben and get to thinking about it, this is kind of where the story has evolved into, well, is the salt witch bad? Is she actually wicked? Because ultimately, she gave him closure.
Yeah.
She also gave him salt that became a huge, huge boon and a huge advantage for the Odo people, having a new spice like that for so many different reasons.
Mm-hmm. But he saw it as bad because this witch was going after his wife.
At first, he did.
At first, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's where it's gets a little twisted, a little confusing.
Right. Yeah. Right. And it was scary. And yeah, I mean, she had a hatchet to his wife's head, you know, like that's pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, she gave him closure and the salt. So there is a little back and forth there. Well, is the salt witch evil or is she well-intentioned but just has a terrible method of getting the point across? I mean, she scares the hell out of everybody that's ever been came across her.
Really?
Hmm.
So has there ever been sightings of this witch?
All the time.
Since, yes.
Yeah. I was telling you about...
So she does arise.
Oh, yeah.
Arrive and arise, I guess, from the ground.
So probably the best and most well-known passage, it was put into a book of myths and legends of our own lands. This was written in 1896 he's got a real good... And before that time, different people have different stories of witnessing the Salt Witch. And I was telling you about Mr. Ballin.
Okay,
in his podcast.
Yeah.
This crazy story of it was a student from the University of Chicago that grew up around Lincoln, and her best friend had an untimely death, and she felt terrible, and she's coming back for her funeral and came across the Salt Witch. And it was a much more graphic story on their podcast and what went down, but the key notes are all kind of the same. It has to do with death. It has to do with a vision. She's not, the Salt Witch isn't nice. You know, she's not saying nice things. She's saying like, I take the dead. I'm taking you.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, I think she did offer closure. So.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And
okay, that's freaky.
But you make a great point. How can you kill somebody that's already dead?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another like big point. Like, what did she actually do then? She didn't murder your wife.
Right.
Whooping cough did.
That's what I'm,
yeah.
You know, maybe being too literal, but.
So in this, and I was telling you before we got on here, there's a well-known biblical story from the Dead Sea, and it's when Lot's wife pissed off God, and so what God did was turn her into a pillar of salt.
Hmm.
So like it, and that's like it's amazing to me when similar stories crop up across the world in way different times, mm-hmm. way different areas, but they all kind of have the same meaning, same saying to them.
So this story, what time period are we talking?
I'm like thinking, I don't know for sure, but
okay.
I mean, it was the time of the Odo people, and it was before wagons were heading west, before any type of civilization. So in that time frame, kind of coincides with when Native Americans did start using salt. Mm-hmm. So like there's a lot of little things like that that add up. There were salt domes. Native Americans started to use salt as a spice and a trading tool between tribes. So there's so many things that like are real. Like you can't deny it. They're real.
Exactly.
And they line up on the timeline at that time.
Uh-huh.
So like, yeah, what did he see? What did the chief see? What did happen? I don't know.
That's why it's
a legend that's still going on.
Quiet over there, mister.
What I looked up online here real quick that I think you mentioned this, Andy, this Charles Skinner with the 9-volume set.
Mm-hmm.
He was alive 1852 to 1907, and he actually wrote this this story down in that set in 1896. So it happened prior to that, but he put it on paper.
So that was a while ago, just you know, taking the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I do suggest everybody listen to that. Run Fool is the name of the podcast, and it's just, the episode is called The Salt Witch.
Hmm. Okay.
But it's a modern, like this happened, I think, in 2015. And the gal's name is Stella, and I think she was 19 or 20 years old when this happened to her.
Okay. So are witches the same as ghosts?
I mean, I don't think so.
No. Okay. But like this witch is appearing like ghosts do.
Yeah, more like a ghost.
How are they not the same?
I think women get a bad rap, you know, if you're a...
Ghost is like a guy or a girl, but a witch is a woman.
Yeah, I mean...
mean woman.
This was a mean woman coming for the dead.
Ben? Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. Everything that we're shown on, you know, like movies and stories and stuff, like ghosts are like... kind of like in the afterlife, and I guess witches are more like, it's a person like sitting across from you or whatever, like, and eventually they could die and they're a ghost as well, but they're a witch as a ghost.
So you're saying this woman witch was a real person? The story is was a real person but then was hurting a dead woman that died from coughing.
I don't think... I don't think
understand what this witch is.
To me, when I...
Like, at this point, was she already dead?
I think of her as a type of a grim reaper.
When I heard you telling that story, to me, the way I was interpreting it was just symbolic for that chief.
I thought so too, but...
His wife... in real life, was being attacked by something and was killed.
Yeah.
So then in this vision that he saw, the witch was playing the role of the disease.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of went there too. That's why I was saying, right. Andy, wait, she had already died.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
In his mind, what was played out before him was the... what he could actually see, because you can't see a disease, right?
Right.
So he could actually see this witch killing his wife and then
taking her
into the depths, and she's gone.
Yeah.
So it was like a play out of what happened as far as the things that he couldn't actually see. So that was like symbolic for that. And then the salt pillar pops up. And so then now he's got something to associate with that salt pillar of like...
good.
Yeah, good and bad. Like, okay, this was given to us because my wife, you know, was taken or whatever. She's given this to us. This witch has...
yeah.
This bad thing has pushed this to us. We can put this to good use, but we can't abuse it.
Right.
We can't take advantage of it because it could come get us.
Yeah. It could grab you. I mean, he could have fell into that crevice.
Right. And that's why they're beating the ground. They're trying to keep the witch from coming back up. But yet there's something here that's good, but there's something here that's bad.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like parallel with anything in, you know, in what we experience in life today. You know, if you were fast forward to today, 2025, take anything like we've talked about, like consumption of anything is bad. You right. know, just because something's good, too mm-hmm. much of a good thing is bad, right?
Yeah.
So you have to give respect to all of these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And that's what they were doing in that way. Does that yeah. make sense? You see what I'm saying?
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. But you're saying then in 2019, something happened. I need to listen to this podcast. Yeah. And this witch is shown back up.
She is shown back up time and time again. Like, if you want to dig into it, like, there's a number of people that, and there's always a mystique to the salt flats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when the Industrial Revolution was taking place and we were mining the salt and really getting, you know, distribution going, like even next door, how there's some scary ghost stories there mm-hmm. with the shop, mm-hmm. doors opening and closing, mm-hmm. shit like that. And it would get pinned back on the salt witch.
So it's always in that location.
Yeah, on the saline salt flat. And the Nebraska Game and Parks has a really neat couple of them documentaries over how just unique that ecosystem is.
Yeah.
And how we're trying to restore it now.
Because yeah, I just Googled it real quick. There's some cool stuff that I'd like to learn about.
Really neat. Really neat place. There's a certain type of tiger beetle that's nowhere mm-hmm. else in the world. It's kind of famous.
Is it something you can go and
yeah.
look at
yeah.
yourself? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they yeah. have it.
Yep. They give tours
mapped
of it.
Out?
They
okay.
give tours
yeah.
of it. And oh. you can go, yeah.
It's crazy we've lived here this whole time and never even knew this.
I know.
Yeah. And probably have driven by it
oh, 100
thousands
times.
Of times.
Yeah.
Have you ever swung by? Stopped?
No, not where what I'm talking about and taking the tour or anything like that. But like I've been to Capitol Lake.
Okay.
I've been boating on that before, and it is interesting. It's not a normal body of water. It's mm-hmm. salt water in the middle of Nebraska.
Yeah, it's wild.
So
you didn't know about this?
No, not at all.
Huh.
I like your take, though, that's what he attached to, you know.
Yeah.
It gave him a physical idea.
Right.
And then, yeah, seeing the dome there, well, now we can tie it back to that.
Yeah.
And then it's also wild that there are different accounts of that across the globe.
Right.
You know?
But I also think it's wild that he just saw this salt, I want to call it a salt lick, but the salt, and he decided that it was going to be something.
The pillar or
like,
the column.
What if it was sand and you grabbed that and then it didn't work on your hide? I mean, how does he know?
He didn't know anything.
It was new to his vision.
It was a big white pillar of newness. And some stories say that to make it more white, there was snow falling. So that made it look even bigger and more pillowy or whatever. But it was a salt pillar, which is a real thing. And he grabbed a handful of it and brought it back. And they're like, oh my God, we can use this in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So... Yeah, and another
crazy story.
And another thing with the salt flats, so that salt gets caked over everything, not just the ground and this weird white layer, this crust, but your grasses and everything else gets covered in salt. So like in the morning and at night, it twinkles in the moonlight like you wouldn't believe. It gets really bright. So that just kind of adds to like you can put yourself in his position and be like, man, there's some crazy stuff going out there going on, mm-hmm. you know?
Salt, when you think about it, I mean, salt is like a really like just wild and like miraculous element. Is it an element? I don't know. Mineral.
Mineral,
yeah.
And there's tons of it just got dumped on Nebraska and it's getting shoved up through our crust right now.
When you think about all the things that it does,
it
protects.
Yeah, I mean, like
flavor.
It preserves. It preserves foods. Yeah, the flavor. I mean, like it's salt is salt enhances the flavor of everything.
Yeah.
So like, just a little bit you add to it, you get flavor enhancement. Too much of it, you know, tastes bad. Salt has had good and bad raps in health.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's on an upward spike. it's like everyone's adding it to their drink. Like you got to have more salt. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm.
It's got to be mineral salt.
The other thing I was thinking of is vehicles, you know, and where we live right now and like how bad they rust.
Oh, yeah.
Because of salt, right? Or if you go down to the coast, like if you get a vehicle from Florida because it's in the air, you know, it's coming out of the ocean, whatever. And I think about like the role that plays, like everything eventually returns to the earth.
Salt breaks it down.
Salt, yeah, you could take a metal vehicle and over the course of however many years, if that salt could break that down and turn it into dust.
Alcatraz, the super prison we built way back in the day, the salt in the sea air, that's why they had to close it down.
Yeah.
It was breaking down everything. Yeah. The concrete walls.
Yeah.
The salt was just destroying
Insane.
It.
It's almost like that was planned.
Oh.
That, like, it was put into the earth, you know, to actually keep the earth healthy and
serve a purpose, return everything to itself.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, now you remind me of that line out of A River Runs Through It and Everything Goes Back. But you said it protects.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting because salt is always a common thread or an ingredient for good witches, for bad witches. Like, when I was trying to research this, it kept coming up, like, salt's the main ingredient for this bad set of witches. Salt is the protector for, like, for different... It's a common thing to put a line of salt, like, across the doorway.
There is in those hocus pocus, like, make a circle.
Exactly.
And put salt.
Like, that stuff just kept popping up.
You.
I'm like, this is wild. Like, like, modern day witches. Who's your friend that we had in here?
Tracy.
Tracy.
Yeah.
The Reiki one.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. The Reiki master.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure she uses salt as a common practice and puts it across the threshold to not let spirits through the door.
Yeah.
You know, so, there's so many different, like, angles and cultures that kind
for
of
salt.
That tie back into salt and what it does. So
It's kind of wild the more you think about it.
Mm-hmm. And that's an account from the Odo tribe, and it's still very much relevant. And you'll have to check that out. I hope you listen to it.
Gosh, I feel like I got a good history lesson, and I'm a little bit spooked out. This is perfect balance.
Yeah. I mean, next time you drive down I-80 and you look towards Lincoln, look south, you will see the Capitol Lake and the wetlands. You will see it over by the airport, too, to your north.
Okay.
Those are the Saline
Flats. I think
I
know exactly what you're talking about. And I've always wondered, like, why is there a freaking lake right here?
Yeah. That's the wetlands. And it should be more like a natural wetlands, I'm thinking of, like, North Dakota.
Uh-huh.
But we're like, nope, we're building a city here. We're we're getting some ditches. We're going to just put all the water here. We're going to call it a lake. So, like, we're in the process of trying to restore some of these wetlands, and it's very important that we do.
Uh-huh.
But during, like I said, the Industrial Revolution and expansion, we're like, screw this. We're mining all this salt. we're profiting from this.
Yeah.
You know? But we're... much like salt's getting a better rap nowadays, health-wise, I think we're on a good path trying to restore some of these wetlands.
Yeah, pretty cool. Well, interesting story, man. I'm glad you brought that. Halloween stories, these are always fun episodes. You mentioned last year we talked to the Reiki master. Is that how you pronounce that? Reiki?
Reiki.
I thought it was Reiki.
Reiki.
I don't know. But that was a good story.
That was exactly a year ago. October 31st of 24. If you're looking for another Halloween episode, something interesting, rewind back to that and listen to our interview with Tracy. That was super cool. I have a buddy who's really into all of these kinds of things.
Ooh, let's get him on.
Like spirits and the Reiki thing. He's gotten into that. Just all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really listen to podcasts, and I sent him this one, and he listened to it. He was like, that was pretty cool, man. I dug that. He was interested.
I wonder if he's heard of the Salt Witch.
He probably has. I'll ask him about it.
Yeah, definitely do.
So anyway, yeah, that's cool, man. That was fun. Halloween, it's one of my favorite holidays, although I hate getting... I hate doing costumes. Not into that, but I love Halloween.
I literally thought in my head right when you said that, this is not your favorite holiday.
You should know it. I love this time of year. It's one of my favorites because it's like it's like the supernatural, and it's like it's like you can like disconnect from reality a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, watch the Halloween shows.
So you should be so into dressing up.
I just don't like getting dressed up.
We did. We talked about this last week. Did you see what we were?
He would be a good angry chief.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to be next.
We were deer in the headlights.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was the deer. And
you have the headlights.
I have the headlights.
That was an easy one.
But I really don't.
I just had to put brown on and some fake antlers.
Well, we got...
And look at her headlights.
Yeah, exactly. We actually had ordered a costume. We're not going to reveal it because we're keeping it for next year. And of course...
Ooh.
they did not, it did not come on time. So we just kind of had to makeshift quick before this party, but it ended up working. And there's another party on Saturday, but we're not going.
Well, fun.
This week, Friday's Halloween, right?
Friday's Halloween.
Which is this, this episode's either going to come out just before then or Friday, whatever. But also, like with the fire department, Friday night, we'll be in town with multiple trucks set up, handing out candy.
Are you
dressing
up? Are you going to be in your bunker gear?
Yeah, I'll just be,
He's a fire chief.
You're going to be the fireman.
An angry fire chief.
You're dressing up like a fireman? Oh my gosh.
That's fun. That's fun stuff that like these small communities do. You know, it's cool to get out and see the kids and everyone gets excited. And then we go back and we have a chili feed at the fire station. Mm-hmm. That's fun. So there's just a lot of cool things that go on around Halloween.
Yep.
That I think is fun.
It's just a really neat time of year too. Like we just had the sports solstice where all there was a hockey game, a baseball World Series game, an NFL game, college football. Like, and it all happens on the same day. It's called the sports equinox.
Mm. Oh,
so it's just kind of a neat, really neat time where that only happens right here in October.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Cool.
Well,
I guess that's all we got. You guys got anything else?
No, that's it, boys.
No, just be careful when you're going across Nebraska on the salt flats.
Yeah, you see one of them pillars, man. You better go the other way.
You should. I mean,
if you don't have a hammer or an axe, just bang your hand.
She's out there to take you. She's
Stop. That's freaking me out. I don't even want to go visit it now. Oh, gosh. Okay.
All right.
Peace.
Happy Halloween.